Now this bird, the birds came down upon the carcasses of these animals, but Avram drove them away. All this is very mystical, all Kabbalistic. One of the many, many insights or meanings to this, Ha'ayit, it refers to David HaMelech, David HaMelech wanted to come and, so to speak, do away with the nations of the world and bring the advent of the Mashiach. And he was prevented from doing so. The time was not right yet. Okay, verse 12, Vayihi Hashemesh Lavo, right, and the sun was going down. Va'terdema nafla al Avraham. Terdema is like a deep, deep sleep. It came upon Avraham. Ve'enei ema chashecha gedoyla nofelis alav. And behold, a tremendously great darkness fell upon Avraham. Okay? Now, these four words, ema, right, like a fear, chashecha, darkness, gedola, great, nofelis, fall, those four words represent, again, the four exiles. Again, this theme is repeated over and over, and all the way back from the very beginning, Bereishis, and I believe in the second verse, these four words are parallel to those. In fact, one of them is almost the same. Tohu v'vohu v'choshech al pnei tohim. Again, the four exiles. Third one being choshech, which we said was Greece, Hanukkah, right? That is the same here. And our ema chashecha, the darkness, is here as well. Now, the last exile in Bereishis, the one that we're in, right, the most severe one, the longest one, is described in Bereishis apnei hatayim, upon the deep, because it's so deep and long. Here too, as with Yaakov's vision, with the angels going up the ladder, where he saw the last angel representing the last exile seeming never to come down, like it lasts so long, here too, the last exile, Edom, that we're in, is described nophelis, as falling, the most severe, like it seems to overwhelm us. Okay, verse 13, by Yomer la Avraham, Yado Teda, you should know. You ask the question, how will you know? Yado Teda, you should know. Ki ger ye zaracha be'eretz lo lahem. That your children will be strangers in a land not theirs. The avadum, they will be in servitude there. The inuistam, they'll be persecuted. Arba ma'os shana, 400 years, very significant. 400 years. This is the famous prophecy of 400 years, which ends up being the majority in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. Again, there's as we've discussed on other occasions, a built-in flexibility in the prophecy to allow for man's free will. Because the fact is, 400 years is prophesied here, but the fact is we were only in Mitzrayim in Egypt 210 years. 190 of these years are actually when the Avos were living in Eretz Yisrael. Which means what? Which means the following. That had, Chalila, there been sins by the great Avos, then maybe there would have been 300 or 350 years in Egypt with the more severe servitude. Or, had the incident not happened with Yosef and the brothers, the jealousy on their level for Shteisach, they were very big tzaddikim, but the mistake that they made on their level, the lack of unity for their level, which brought us down to Egypt for 210 years, had they not done that, all 400 years of this prophecy could have been spent in Israel. Okay? So, again, the Nevuah, the prophecy is only set up with a built-in flexibility to allow for man's free will. Now, there's a lot of other significant things. We're going to go back and try to analyze a little bit more these verses that we just read. Okay, first of all, from the Daskin and Bali Tosfos, when it says by Avram here, Vesardema naflao Avram, that this great, deep sleep or dread fell over Avram. So Daskin and Bali Tosfos says, why? Because b'seich oisar ala HaKadosh Baruch Hu shibud malchus, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Avram all the future tzoras of all the exiles and all the persecutions that the Jews would have, his children through all generations, this tremendous dread and fear and fell over Avram Avinu. Okay, as a matter of fact, Das Kanei Bar Tosfos goes on to explain an amazing decision that Avram Avinu had to make. In fact, I think it's quoting a Gemara. Hashem said to Avram, you know, your children are going to do sins, and therefore, I'm going to give you a choice. What do you want as the Tati? Your descendants, they have to be cleansed from sin. Either you can pick the cleansing to be Gehenna, right? Or Golus, or the exiles, the persecution of the nations. And Avram Avinu did not know what to do. What a difficult decision. Certainly he didn't want his children to go to Gehenna, but then, you know, when he was about to pick Golus, so to speak, he saw all the persecutions of all the different exiles. How can we possibly survive the Holocaust, the Inquisitions, the pogroms, the Tachmatat? How is it possible? And Avram Avinu did not know what to do. And it's only when Hashem assured Avram that B'nai Yisrael would never cease to exist and they will survive the persecutions, then Avram Avinu picked exile. Okay? The other thing that Avram Avinu was very concerned about is not just the physical persecutions that would affect his children in exile and they could possibly be defeated, but what he even feared more is the assimilation that we would get totally, you know, into the culture and the nation of that time. And so to speak, as they say, the Holocaust of love, either the physical persecution or the spiritual persecution, both of these, Avram feared that we could not survive. And we're going to see this again was a fear of Yaakov Avinu when he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Save me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esav, says the Beis Halevi. Yaakov Avinu was offering a tefillah for all generations of Jews. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save my children from the hand of my brother, the nations of the world, when they come at me like my brother and they want to love me and they want to intermarry with me, right? And they want us to join their country clubs and get involved in their culture and theater and sports. Save me from that, and save me, Miyad Esav, from Esav, which represents Edom, our exile here, right? The nations of the world, basically. Save me when he comes at me with persecutions and pogroms. But look which one Yaakov put first. Which one did he fear more? The assimilation. Hatzileni na Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav. But first Miyad Achi, that's always going to be a bigger danger to Yiddishkeit, right? Assimilation is always a bigger danger than annihilation. As a matter of fact, we know that we will always survive. We have a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It comes here, it's mentioned really after Akedas Yitzchak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avram, basically, the promise ends up being that there will always be a nation of Israel. Period. A little bit of a hint to it, actually, here. But after the Akedas Yitzchak, Hashem says clearly that we will always survive. Will always survive. So we are never really worried about the nation of Israel. We're worried about individual Jews, that they may get lost, you know, but the nation of Israel will always be here. Okay, so now basically I'm going to read to you this decision Avram had made from the Das Kanei Bar Tosfos. Kedai to hear it in Lashon Kodesh, in the original language. Okay, so here it is. Kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram, shibud malchus v'gehenam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Avram, right, the persecution of the nations and Gehenam. Heralo Torah v'Kurbanos, and he showed him Torah and the sacrificial service. Amar lo, Hashem said to him, Kol zman Yisrael oiskim b'Torah v'Kurbanos. During the time when Israel, as long as Israel is involved in Torah and the Kurbanos, Yinitzuli mina hashnayim ha'elu, they'll be saved. Israel will be saved from these other two things, which is the persecution of the nations and the Gehenna. Again, all as long as Israel is involved in Torah and sacrifices, those two will protect us from the evil two things of the persecutions of the nations and Gehenna. right? Aval asid beis hamikdash yicharev ve'akorbanos levatel. But in the future, that we know the temple is going to be destroyed and there will be no sacrificial service. But mata chafetz. So what is it that you would like? This is the choice I'm giving you, said Hashem to Avram. Shistabu benecha b'shibud malchus. Either your children are going to be under shibud malchus, under the nations of the world, the persecution of the nations, or bedinim shel gehinnom, or they're going to have to face the judgment of Gehenim. Vayatema Avram velo yada malanois. And Avram was like, he confused. He didn't know which to pick. Right, Amar lo, Hashem said to him, "Memata tama b'char la b'shibud malchus." Why are you in wonderment here? I said, Hashem, pick the persecution under the nations rather than have Gehenna. Right, don't let them be judged in Gehenna. Right, im look, and therefore that's what Avraham Avinu picked. But again, he only picked this only after Kodesh Baruch Hu guaranteed him that Israel will survive the persecution of the nations, both from their hatred and their love. So again, we have to realize, again, this prophecy that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is showing Avram is basically a prophecy of all future exile, of all future persecution and source. And the end ups, as we're going to read a couple more verses, the salvation of Israel all until the times of Mashiach, a very far-reaching nevuah. I just want to add one point. When we said the turtle dove was not divided, Israel is compared to the dove. One of the many reasons that we're compared to a dove is that a dove is very loyal to its mate. And just that's Israel, basically, despite the persecutions. And it's very appropriate here where we are shown all the persecutions of the nations, Israel under persecution will never give up its mate, which is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We'll still remain loyal and steadfast and do the Torah mitzvahs and never give up our belief in God. So therefore we're compared to the dove. Yeah, that's also true, that the fact is that the four kings that Avram defeated, right, that was also representative, as we mentioned at that time, the four exiles. Again, this is going to be repeated throughout the Chumash, Ramazim, hints to the four exiles, because that's what the history is all about of the Jewish people. Okay, and now we're going to move on to this verse that we just read about Yadote Daki Ger Yezerecha Beres Lo Lehem. Know that you will be strangers in the lands not there. Now, many, many commentaries on this, and I'm going to read you right now from Torah Ma'adin. What does it mean that you should be a stranger in a land not theirs? Okay, so he says something very significant, and it's something we have to keep in mind. We just mentioned before that Avraham Avinu was very concerned that during the exiles, you know, we wouldn't make it. Either by persecution we get lost, or assimilation. Listen to Rav Zev in Latorah L'Ma'adim, right? Begolas Sirchim La'argish Kegerim. Don't forget, in exile, you got to feel like you're gerim, like you're strangers. That's what it says in this verse. Ki ger yezerecha eretz lo lehem. Be a stranger. Ki ger yezerecha. Remember, it's like a commandment. Be a stranger when you're in a land not yours. Right? Don't forget, this isn't home. All right? We're very grateful to America that we can live here and basically practice our Yiddishkeit. But remember, this isn't home. Be a stranger. Remember, you're in Golis. Okay? Ube'eret Yisrael, ketoshavim b'kfuim. In the land of Israel, that is where you are like a toshav. The difference between a ger and a toshav. A ger is like a stranger. A toshav is someone who sits, who dwells in security. And only Israel is a place that we dwell in security. Okay? And that's what it says. La'avram kiger yazarecha beres lo'lehem. You'll be a stranger in a land not yours. Okay, so he asks a question. What does this mean? V'kiyachol yos ger be'er shalayim? Is it possible a person can be a stranger in a land that is theirs? Of course you got to be a stranger in a land that's not yours. You understand the question? It seems redundant. He says, be a stranger in a land not yours. Well, of course you're a stranger in a land that's not yours. Why do you tell me that? Right? So he says, no, that's the whole point. You know, we forget it's a land not ours. And we forget to be like strangers. Im ger yezarecha, if your children will be strangers, muvan sheyeberes lo'lehem. Of course it's going to be in a land that's not theirs. Elakach amar, this is what he meant to say. This is what he did say. Ki ger yezarecha, hem yagishu es atzmam kegerim. When your children are strangers, they should feel themselves as being strangers, as not being at home. Ki yishiyu be'eretz lo lahem. When they're in exile on a land that's not theirs, not Israel, you should feel like a ger. You should feel like okay, so when you're in a stranger land and you're in a land not yours, you should feel like Garim. The whole idea is your mental state. You should realize this isn't home. She'im yargishu kitoshavim begolus lo yuchlu ligael chas v'sholom. If a person, if they feel like a toshav, like settlers in the exile, then how can I bring about a redemption? If they feel they're not in exile, they feel they're already redeemed. That can't bring redemption. They have to feel that they're in Golas. And the opposite. Be'er Shalahem, when they're in their land, Be'eret Yisroel, Yagishu Ketoshavim. When we're in the land of Israel, you should feel like you're a settler there. And this was said, the famous Ashrei. Ashrei Yesh Be'Secha, happy are those Yesh Be'Secha who dwell in the house. Ashrei Mish Be'Secha. Even when you're in exile, you should feel like a teisha, like a settler in shul, in the houses of learning. That still is the house. And that, by the way, we call a shul a mikdash mat, a miniature temple. When we were put in exile and the destruction of the temple, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his tremendous chesed for us, gave us a portable tabernacle, so to speak, a portable mikdash, a mikdash mat. And that is the shul, the base of Midrash. In a certain sense, even in exile, we can get a little bit of redemption, so to speak, whenever we're in shul, whenever we're learning Torah, because then we're locking in above time. We're already holding by Mashiach when we're learning. We're holding by Olam Haba when we're learning Torah, when we're praying to Hashem. So, Ashrei Yeshvei Beisecha, happy are those that are dwellers, settlers in your house, in Eretz Yisrael, and in our portable base of Midrash, in the shuls, learning Torah in the base of Midrashas, right? Then we're dwellers, okay? That's the only place you can feel as a settler, as a dweller in Golis, right? You're in Golis, but in shul at least, there, you know, there I'm a settler. That's where I belong. I'm not a stranger there. And the same concept, the Chiddush Rem talks about it in the Yitzhak Mitzrayim, when we came out of Egypt. He says, I took you out of Sivlos. It's an interesting word. It can also mean the patience. I took you out of being patient in Egypt. The fact that you were content there, that you could, it didn't bother you. It didn't bother you. I took the patience out, that you couldn't stifle it. You had no more patience for the Golas. Right? Only when you realize the Golas is disgusting. It's coarse, it's grub, it's physical. You don't feel any spirituality. That's the real Golas, right? Then I can take you out. So this, again, is a theme that's repeated. That we're in exile to feel. In fact, that we're in exile. And in general, by the way, as we've said many times, in America, that's, you know, it's a very big challenge. When you're not being physically persecuted, to still realize you're in exile is a very big challenge. And, you know, again, we're very grateful to America and everything that we have here, but the fact is we have more of a persecution than physical persecution, a much bigger challenge, right? Because we could be disillusioned into thinking everything is fine. There's no problem. Why should I want a redemption? Right? Why should I want Mashiach? You know, I'm not being physically persecuted. We lose the fact of what Golos really means. And Golos means not being able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not feeling spirituality, you know, not feeling the sweetness in Torah and mitzvahs. And that's what life's all about. Okay? And America, living the good life, that concentration and focus continuously, you know, on bigger cars and nicer homes and vacations and all these things, it kills. It mamish kills. It just takes you away from the real focus of what life is all about. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, you're supposed to prepare yourself here, right? Here in this world, to get to the next world. In other words, we're supposed to develop ourselves spiritually, right? That's what it's all about. We're supposed to develop ourselves spiritually, and that's very hard to do in a land that's so materialistic. So, and we have to concentrate and realize that, okay? And again, all this can be used, the materialism, you know, and the comforts can be used, Kodesh Kodeshim, Holy of Holies, it can be used so that we don't have to have the yoke of making a living and concentrate on Torah mitzvahs. But too often it becomes a distraction, a hindrance, rather than an aid to be able to concentrate on Ruchnius. So it's a big challenge for us. We have to realize that, and we have to concentrate on the spirituality in exile, realize we're in exile, not because physicality, physical persecution so much, but the fact that we're being distracted from our real goal and purpose in this world, which is to make ourselves as spiritually refined as possible so we can go to the next world in a smooth transition, right, and bask in the glory and the secrets of the Torah, right, in the next world. But if we don't develop our spiritual taste buds in this world, right, and we don't, you know, again, I can't, that's a very good analogy, to develop develop a taste for Ruchnius, for spirituality, for Torah mitzvahs, then when we go to the next world, it's all spiritual, right, we're going to be in trouble, right, because we won't be able to comprehend and we won't be able to enjoy it. We have to learn in this world, that's what it's about. That's what it's about, to sensitize our spiritual antenna, if you will. The famous Rabbeinu Yonah, he says, you know, you should know that a person leaves this world and goes to the next world with exactly the taste that he developed in this world. If a person spends his whole life here, you know, and he's into football and he's into firebirds and all the other Narsh kind of the world, right? And then the next world, which for Tzaddikim will be Gan Eden, sitting around learning divine secrets and the Torah, for these people will be Gehenna. It'll be hell, because it'll be in a world purely spiritual, and they have developed themselves in this world only for a physical zachem. So that for them will be Gehenna. The same place that will be Gan Eden for Tzaddikim, learning spirituality and Torah, for these people who made themselves physical will be Gehenna. So that's it. That's the whole key. That Rabbeinu Yonah. What you make yourself in this world is exactly what you take to the next world. So this is the opportunity, and this is where we have to refine ourselves for eternity. Remember, this world, you know, it's wonderful. It's a speck of time, though, compared to eternity. And what makes this world great is that we can do Torah mitzvahs, not only to earn the reward for the next world, but more importantly, maybe, I guess, the most important thing is that we're being an Eved Hashem. We're being, servant to God. He says to do Torah mitzvahs, his commandments, we do it. That's it, period. But, you know, we have to realize that we're preparing ourselves for an eternal journey, right? So we got to equip ourselves properly. Okay, Rav Salanter on this verse says an interesting insight. He reads it the following. Right, you should be a stranger in a land not yours. What we just read from Torah Moadim is like a commandment, right? That this is a commandment to the Jewish people to always be strangers in a land that's not yours. Remember your status as a stranger. Rav Salanter learns it out as being a promise from Hashem. Ki ger yezarecha be'eretz lo lahem, you will be a stranger in a land not yours. I guarantee you. In other words, he says, this is a haftacha ma'kadosh baruch hu, a promise from Hashem, that he will not, shelo yeh b'yedei ha'yehudim lisbatach chas v'sholom ben goy ha'aretz, that Hashem will not allow the Jewish people to assimilate with the nations of the world, right? And therefore, you know, we might think by, going along and trying to get along and being liberal, right, that they'll like us more. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he'll do, if we don't remember that we're Jewish on our own, the Goy will remind us that you're a Jew. How? By persecution. So he says, this is a promise, Tamid, if you try to assimilate, the goyim will remind you that you are strangers in a land not yours. And against their will, so to speak, will be forced to recognize that we're a Jew. And we will remain faithful Jews until the coming of the Mashiach, either on our own, will remain distinct and separate, or chas v'sholom, if we try to assimilate, thinking that's a way to gain the favor of the goyim, Rav Salanter says it won't work. Hashem will arouse a sinai, a hatred, a persecution, as a preservative, and anti-Semitism as a preservative for Jewish people, so we won't get assimilated. It's very interesting. Anti-Semitism is a preservative of the Jewish people. but to keep us from assimilating. Of course, they don't know that, but we should realize that. The May Marom says, in addition to this, that this verse is telling us, Kiger Yezerecha, that if you remain with the attitude that you're strangers in a land not yours, right, and you have, like, no tranquility in the Golis, then that will be the merit, right? This will be the merit that you'll come, it will be promised, it will be guaranteed that you'll come out of the Golis. And this merit that you consider yourself strangers in exile, you will come back to inherit the land of Israel. Sort of like a midah k'neged midah, measure for measure. Since you felt yourself strangers in a land that's not yours, then you'll merit to come back to the land that is yours. And a final note or a final warning from Rav Zev and Torah Ma'adim, again on this verse, to be a stranger in a land not yours, he brings down a pasuk at the end of the book of Bereishis, I think it's at the end of Vayigash, where it says where Yosef and the brothers, all the 70 original souls, come down to Egypt, Vayashav v'aretz v'yeshev v'eretz Mitzrayim v'ya'achazu ba, that we dwelt, we settled, v'yeshev, again, not by Yagar, but by Yeshev, we dwelled, we settled land of Egypt, and it grasped us. Meaning, and therefore, what happened? V'zeh garam l'shibud, and that caused our persecution in Egypt, and we became in servitude. In other words, have we not felt like settlers in Egypt, right, the first exile, and again, the paradigm, Egypt is the paradigm of all future exiles and redemptions. We learn everything out from there. It's the Maase Avos of exiles and geulas. So had we not felt like settlers and permanent dwellers there, then we would not have had the persecution. We could have spent the whole 210 years there, right, just feeling that we were strangers. But because we didn't feel it, right, we didn't feel the strangers, felt too comfortable there, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bring a physical persecution on our body so we can feel that we are in exile. You understand? That explains why 190 of these 400 years, which was from the birth of Yitzchak's whole life, right, and more, could be in Israel. Why? Because the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they felt Golus when the Mashiach wasn't here, when the world was not perfected, when the whole world does not acknowledge the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? They felt the Golus. And therefore, there was no need for a physical persecution on the body to make them aware of this. When they passed away, we were not as spiritually sensitive. Even the Shvatim, as great as they were, the tribes of Israel, they lost the sensitivity. They came to Egypt, even their great level, and they started to dwell there. And then, the Yachazuba, the land grasped them. We became so comfortable and entrenched there, the only way that that Kodesh Baruch Hu could remind us that this is not home, this is exile, we forgot, right, is to bring a physical persecution on the body. Right? When we first came down there, we realized we were strangers, but the longer that we dwelled in Egypt, the Yachazuba, it grasped us, became a part of it. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for our sake, right, made us slaves in Egypt, to awaken us that this is not home. You understand? It's a very important concept that we look at the persecution just as a punishment for our sins, which can be true, which is in itself true, but in addition, like a loving father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only punishing us, he's doing this for our education, for our rectification, for our benefit, to awaken us to the fact, right, whatever the flaws, in this case, to realize that this is not home. And unfortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would rather not physically cause this to us, a physical pain to us, he'd rather we realize it on our own. Right, like Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov did, but at this time, we felt to that level where we needed it. It was for our benefit. We needed the physical persecution for the ultimate benefit to realize we're in exile, so we could have a redemption. Again, the rule being, if you don't realize you're in exile, Kosh Baruch Hu cannot bring a redemption. So this was for our benefit. And therefore, Rav Zevin concludes, right? We dwell in the land of Egypt, it grasped us, it got a hold of us, and Zegarah Mashibah, this caused our persecution there, right? And the Hashibah Oyer Oysam Metzardamasam, and this persecution awoken us from our deep sleep, our spiritual coma, if you will, Ad Asher Alsa
Shabbatam Elohim, Minavoida Ubagula. So finally, we started crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the servitude, and came the redemption. Mina avoida. Avoida means the servitude. It could also mean mina avoida. I believe the Sfas Emma says mina avoida. We cry out to Hashem, not only from the physical persecution, mina avoida, that we couldn't do avoida Hashem. We cry out to Hashem because we couldn't properly serve Him. Avoida Hashem is a term used meaning, you know, davening to Hashem, doing His Torah mitzvahs. Right? Besides the physical meaning, it means physical persecution, it could also mean that we couldn't spiritually serve Hashem properly. So really, they're Hainu Hach, they're the same thing in a certain sense. Because of the physical persecution, we could not serve Hashem properly. Okay, so all this tells us that the physical persecution was only for the purpose of waking us up out of our deep, deep slumber, spiritual slumber, forgetting that we're in Golas. Right? And then when we cried out to Hashem that we're in Golas, save us, then, Uba Gula, only then could come the redemption. Lesson for us is obvious. You know, let's not wait. We already had let's not wait till there's any physical persecution, right? We should be crying to Hashem every day, as it says in our tefillahs, for the Mashiach, for the end of the exile, right? And with that sensitivity and awareness that we are in exile now, right, and cry and pray to Hashem, mina avoida, right, that we can't properly serve Him, then, of course, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to bring upon us a physical persecution. Verse 14, V'gam es hagoy asher yavodu dan anoichi, v'achareichen yitzu b'ruchush gadol. Hashem tells Abraham, also the nation, right, the nation that the children of Israel will be in servitude to, I will judge them, says Hashem. And of course, those two words, Dan Anochi, those end up being many, many miracles, including the 10 plagues and the splitting of the sea and the drowning of all the Egyptians. And there was many, really, miracles within the 10 plagues and many miracles within the splitting of the sea. From those two words, Dan Anochi, that is a representative of all the persecution, all the retribution to Egypt for what they did to us. And afterwards they'll come out with great wealth. Now, really, the great wealth is really referring to the Torah, the only true wealth. But we have a conversation with Avraham Hashem, the big tzaddikim, when they come out of Egypt, they'll realize, Rechush Gadol, great wealth means spirituality, the Torah. But the simple people, right, the pshat of this verse is that we're physically persecuted, and physically we'd get great wealth. So Hashem, for the sake of Avraham, tells Moshe, please ask the people to borrow, vessels of silver and vessels of gold, so Avraham Avinu will realize that I have fulfilled my promise to him, right? For his sake, so he won't say even the pshat, and the simple Jew gets understanding of this verse of a physical wealth. You understand, basically, Rechush Gadol is really talking about the Torah, but for the people on lesser levels, they learn this prophecy to mean a physical wealth. And at that level, we were at a low level when we came out of Egypt, therefore, to satisfy all meanings of this verse, both a physical and a spiritual wealth, even a physical wealth we got when we left Egypt. They learn out from the verse, from the first word of the verse, the gam, and also it comes to include. In other words, not only if the gam kagosh yavodu adan anoichi, not only Egypt will I judge and take vengeance for Israel, the gam includes all the other kingdoms and all the other exiles that have persecuted the Jews, I'll take vengeance on them also. It's very good when we say, Egypt, Mitzrayim is a paradigm for all future exiles and redemptions. So just like everything happened there, it'll happen in the future. And just like they were judged, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacted retribution for them for what they did to us, so too, Begam, all the other nations that ever harmed a Jew or did anything to us, right, they'll also get it. And just like we got all the money back, it was really money that we worked for. The truth is, it's our money. We worked there for so many years, slave labor. So too, all the money that the Goyim took from us, illegal, throughout all our long history, that also will come back to us. Or Chaim HaKadosh says, the Gam goes on actually part of the children of Israel. In other words, I'm going to judge those that persecuted you, and the Gam, right, Gom is the four-fifths of Jewry that were so assimilated in Egypt that did not want to leave. They're going to be judged. That's what the Gom goes on, and they are going to die in Egypt. And this is hinted to in the verse in Shmos where it says, V'chamushim alu, that means we came out armed. V'chamushim is a play on the word chamesh, a fifth, right? That only a fifth of Israel came out. Four-fifths, right, died during the plague of darkness. They died during that plague so the Egyptians would not see that Jews also died in this plague. You know, then that would take away from the miracle. So, four-fifths of Jewry died on here. Or Chaim says that's hinted to in the word the Gom. That just as I judge the Egyptians for destruction, I will judge four-fifths of Jewry, and they will also be destroyed in Egypt. Okay, again, just to kind of review this prophecy to get a little continuity and flow from the beginning, from verse 7 through verse 14. Okay, I'm the Lord that God took thee out of the land of Ur-Kostim, right, where Avraham Avinu was saved. Hashem saved him there, his first test, being thrown in the furnace by Nimrod for not worshiping idols, right? And I'm going to give you this land of Israel for an inheritance. Avraham says, verse 8, but my edah, what's the proof, what merit do I know that Israel will not forfeit it through sin, this promise of yours? Okay, verse 9, Hashem tells them, basically take these animals, in other words, in merit of the sacrificial service, and when we don't have the base of the Migdash, the very reading of the sacrificial service, will Hashem will count it for us as a merit, as if we offered the sacrifices. Okay, verse 10, Avraham Avinu takes the different animals, he splits them in half, right, and does not split the bird, representing the weakening of the nations of the world, so that there will be a kiyum for the children of Israel, and the whole world could survive their antics later. Okay, verse 11, we explain that this bird came down to sweep down the carcasses, represents many things. One of the things that David HaMelech wanted to bring the redemption during his time. Avraham Avinu saw this as a prophecy, and Hashem stopped him from vanquishing the enemies and bringing Mashiach because the time was not right. A very mystical concept there, because David HaMelech obviously is the forerunner of Mashiach. Verse 12, then the actual prophecy starts to Avraham Avinu, and he has this tremendous deep sleep that comes upon him, and he has a tremendous fear and awe as he's shown the four exiles and the persecution of his children, the children of Israel, throughout all generations until the time, Bias Mashiach, the times of the coming of the Mashiach, right? And he's given this choice of Gehenna or Shibud Malchus, Gehenna or the persecution of the nations of Israel to cleanse his children from sin. And he picks Shibud Malchus, only when Hashem guarantees him that we will survive it. And then Hashem tells Avraham Avinu this famous prophecy, Kigar Yezer Echa Beret Lolahem. This is verse 13. You'll be a stranger in a land not yours. And this, of course, ends up being mostly in Egypt. The 210 of the 400 years is in Egypt, right? And you should remain a stranger and realize you're a stranger in a land not yours, right? And there you'll be persecuted for a total of 400 years, including right parts of it that from the birth of Yitzchak in the land of Israel. Then verse 14, but no, at the end of that 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak, v'gam sagosh yavdu adan anoichi, that I will exact retribution and have judgment on the nations, on this nation Egypt that persecuted you, as well as all the nations that will persecute the children of Israel throughout generations. They can achrei ken yatzu b'rachush gadol, and afterwards you will come out with great wealth. Meaning the giving of the Torah on Shavuos, that's the whole purpose of the physical freedom of Egypt, the spiritual freedom of Shavuos, of getting the Torah. Ain ben chorim ela misha oisek b'Torah. No such thing as a really free person other than one who's really involved in Torah. Right? But in addition, there will be a physical ruchush gadol, a physical great wealth you'll take out of Egypt. Right? And so too, again, so too at the end of all the exiles, right, will come out with a great wealth physically. Also, all the nations of the world will return everything that was taken from us illegally. Okay? And one more verse we'll conclude for today. Verse 15, Vatatzavol vosecha b'shalom tekaber b'seva teva. And you will come to your fathers in peace. In other words, and you'll be buried, satiated, and in goodness. Okay?
Well, this verse is very mystical. It means a lot of things. One of the insights that we have from here is that this verse is used as proof of the immortality of the soul. Right? The fact that it says that you'll come to your fathers in peace, right? So they use this as one of those proofs. Not that we need proof. Hashem says it. That's good enough. Another thing this verse tells us is that Terach, Avram's father, did tshuva and merited to be with Avram at death. And that's what it means. You'll come to your father, literally your father, in peace. Terach done tshuva, and you'll be in that same spiritual depository of souls. You'll all be together there because he did tshuva. Okay, we're going to stop here and pick up verse 16 next time. I just want to conclude in mentioning, in general, since we have the prophecy here of the first exile, in general, the Zohar says, this is a hard thing for us to relate to, obviously it would have been had we not sinned and not been in exile, but the fact is, he says, the Zohar says that exile becomes an integral part of our spiritual process. It's more like Mitzrayim itself in Devarim is called a Kur Barzel, a cleansing furnace. It becomes a purification process, not only for us, but allows the whole world to be sanctified by our presence when we're scattered throughout the world. Okay, instead of just being in Eretz Yisrael, right? Okay, so we're all throughout the world. Everybody is sanctified. Everybody gets this concept of belief of one God and so forth and so on, ideals of the Torah, right? And therefore, redemption will be, in a certain sense, because of the exile, will bring us to a higher state than possible without the exile. Now, that's a hard thing, right? It's a very mystical concept, and it cannot be taken out of context, because obviously it would have been better had we not gone to exile. We'd have been on such a high state that we'd have acted like a magnet, and people would have come to us, and we could have spiritualized the world in that fashion. But as it is, the situation we're in, we do have a chance to have fallen and gone down and get back up in a certain sense, get even to a higher level. I guess it's very similar to the concept that a Baal Tshuva stands at a level that a complete tzaddik doesn't stand. And also a concept that needs to be explained. Obviously, it's not, you know, you can't say that, well, it's great, I'll sin, and then I'll become a Baal Tshuva. It doesn't work that way. Okay, the fact that that person fell, or that the nation of Israel fell, and despite that we still got up, right, and did tshuva, so that acts as a tremendous merit for us. But ideally, of course, we would have liked not to have fallen, to need an exile, or to become a Baal Tshuva. But the reason we're bringing this out is to realize that we do have this opportunity the way it is now, the way the situation is now. We are in exile. We do have an opportunity, in a certain sense, to all be a Baal Tshuva, right, the nation of Israel. And to say, none is not so kuskuyos that we can make our paths, our averas, into mitzvahs, if this is the impetus for us to get even higher and greater to Hashem. So on that note, I wish you all a wonderful week and a good Shabbos. We'll pick up next time, God willing, Yitzhar Shem, chapter 15, verse 16.